Prajatam sahagana raghunatham vitam tam sajivam sadvaitam savadhutam parijana sahitam krishna taitanya devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamascha Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Unto thee, Prabhu. Everything's okay? You have the sound is the main thing.
Sorry?
You have vision at the moment, but not sound, is
yeah.
it? Okay. Now, one day is this. You told me it's the boat festival. What day is that? I see. So, let's see. Then I guess tomorrow, I may not have this seminar.
Yeah.
What days did I say would be on? Then. I didn't get a yeah. 23, 24, 25, 27
Yeah.
So maybe I should reschedule it. Tomorrow evening is the boat festival, huh? Is it? That's what Antadeep told me, this one. Antadeep Prabhu, who's our technical expert. I think every day there's some festival, isn't there? Is it? Every day there's something going on. Such as? Something in the evening. So shall we go on with this on the prescribed days? Okay then. All right. Well, I had conceived of this seminar in four parts, which may coincide with the 4 days, or it may not exactly coincide with the 4 days. The idea is, first of all, introductory. Theory, you can say. Why? What are the benefits of this? And then the second part is technical. How to pronounce all the different sounds. The third part is practical, going through many songs and prayers used in our daily liturgy and pointing out common errors. And the last part is questions. So if you have any questions, please write them down and leave them till the end if you have enough patience to wait till the end, because it's not the most interesting subject. If we're telling stories from Mahabharata, or no doubt we'd have many more people here today. So if you have the patience to listen through it all, and you can that's only one day, then you can keep your questions till the end, because otherwise what happens is the questions come up and they're questions about subjects that I'm planning to deal with anyway. So it's actually, there's only one evening when there is, which is the 26th, is it? No. Yeah, 26th, when I don't have anything scheduled anyway. So Antadvipa Prabhu, your fear is unfounded. If you could get one of those for me, I'd be grateful also. I'll take this one? Okay, thank you very much. All right, let's get on with this seminar on Bengali, Sanskrit and Bengali pronunciation. So, what is the importance of this seminar? ISKCON is coming on for 44 years old, and I don't think there's been a seminar in Mayapur or in Bhaktivedanta College or any such thing ever since, and ISKCON's been going on for better or worse, according to your perspective. And what difference does it make anyway, whether we seem to be doing okay without a seminar on pronunciation? Well, we can always do things better. Krishna conscious means we should always be striving to do everything nicely, properly. Well, we should try to do everything in a manner that is pleasing to Krishna. As Srila Prabhupada once said, if it's worth doing for Krishna, it's worth doing properly. So just like you can somehow or other throw some clothes on the deity and call it deity dressing, or you can attempt to dress them very pleasingly and perfectly and comfortably, or you can somehow or other throw some preparations in a pot and do some cooking and make an offering, or you can learn how to cook very nicely for the pleasure of Krishna, or you can somehow or other pick up some mridanga and kartals and bang them in some way or other and make some kind of sound and call it kirtan, and or you could also learn how to play nicely for the pleasure of Krishna. So everything should be done properly for Krishna. Why go on years and years mispronouncing when there is a standard pronunciation of various words that we use? Just like, for instance, if I know someone's name is John, but for years and years I just keep on calling him Jan, and he understands, but why don't you say it properly? Maybe it's difficult to... Maybe if someone finds it easier to say Jan instead of John, but you can make a Russian substitute for that if you like. See, I can't pronounce Russian at all. So. Here's an example for people who understand English. What a difference it can make if you... proper pronunciation, or a slight difference. You know the example I'm going to give? I gave it to Lokanath Maharaj. It's a vulgar example which makes the point very clear that a slight mispronunciation can greatly change the meaning. And those of you who know English well enough will appreciate this, and those of you who don't, or maybe you won't appreciate it. Anyway, I can ask you, please sit here. Right? It's a polite thing to say. Right? Please sit here. Now, if I pronounce the S as if there's an H after it, so the S is pronounced as a sh. Those of you who not many people understand English, otherwise you should be laughing, because it's vulgarly humorous. But it makes the... Anyway, you don't understand. Please, S-H-I something here. Polite people don't say these things, but everyone knows the word. So the slight change from sir to sh completely changes the meaning in a very vulgar way. Instead of being a polite expression or polite request, it becomes something vulgar and bizarre. Actually, Srila Prabhupada also, he was talking about how his disciples, they were all long-haired hippies. And then he said, Lord Chaitanya has come to save you. But devotees weren't sure whether he said to save you or to shave you. So in this case, both things. He came to save us and shave us. But the two words, they are different. So, proper pronunciation sounds very nice. If we hear Sanskrit pronounced clearly, then, it sounds very pleasing. And actually, Sanskrit mantras which are pronounced with correct intonation, clearly, it's actually a very purifying sound. But if it's pronounced sloppily, you know what that word sloppy means? You can guess from the context. Sloppily means without taking proper care, neglectfully, in a poor manner, not well done, then it doesn't sound nice. Everything should be done nicely for Krishna. The mantras chanted properly sound very sweet. And actually Sanskrit and Bengali, they're very sweet languages. Some languages are very sweet and some aren't. There's a saying it's a secular saying, but I first heard it quoted by His Holiness Jayadvaita Swami, so I have a good source that some king of Spain, I believe it was Charles the something of Spain, was said to have said that you speak English to a merchant, German to a horse, French to a woman, and Spanish to God. He was Spanish. But there is a difference. I mean, I know the first time I heard German speaking, and they were devotees, I thought they were arguing with each other. I thought they were just talking. But it's a heavy sounding language. So some languages are naturally very sweet. I had some Bengali here somewhere. Oh well. Yeah, if we hear Bengali spoken by sweet speakers, cultured people, Bhakti Charu Swami, if we hear him speaking, just even if you don't understand what it means, just the sound of it is very sweet. Because the language is naturally very sweet compared to even other Indian languages like Hindi, for that matter. So most of our Gaudiya liturgy is composed in Sanskrit or Bengali, other languages also, but especially these two languages. We have heard, Srila Prabhupada often quotes, that mantras, Sanskrit mantras, if chanted properly, are so powerful that they can bring animals who are killed in yagyas back to life. They're so powerful. It used to be widely said, it's one of those things that Srila Prabhupada said, which used to be widely quoted. Although I don't think there's any written source for this. But it was widely quoted that Srila Prabhupada had said that the children of my disciples' children will be able to, they'll be so powerful and pure that they will be able to light fires by mantra, as was previously done. So Narayan should be able to light fires by mantra.
Yes, Narayan.
Can he light fires by pronouncing mantras? Yeah. Not yet. He has to be trained. It's possible, stated in Shastra. But purity is required, and not only purity, but the pronunciation had to be correct. That's why the Srila Prabhupada said, or he explained that the test, that was a test to see that the brahmanas, they were chanting properly and they were properly qualified to chant, that they'd sacrifice an animal and then the brahmanas should bring it back to life by mantra, and then they could go on. I'm going to take that book off the floor. Then they could go on with the yajna. Now, here's a good reason for this seminar. Srila Prabhupada wanted his disciples to pronounce properly, and he sometimes corrected them. So I'll get back to... I'll go over these points in some more detail later, gradually. What is my qualification to give this seminar? Well, I haven't studied either Sanskrit or Bengali in an informal way. I have done so, some aspects. So I'm not going to give you a very technical, well, somewhat technical, the very nature of this subject is technical, but I won't be going very deeply into different details such as this Vedic Shaka pronounces in this way and another one pronounces in another, just some pretty basic stuff according to what I have picked up here and there. And I hope it will be useful for all of you. Who will benefit from this? Well, anyone who wants to improve their pronunciation for the pleasure of Krishna. We might think, well, that means all of those who are not Indians, because Indians, in Indian languages, many of the words that commonly come in Sanskrit, just like in Bhagavad Gita, common words are karma, jnana. How do you pronounce jnana? That's a good question. First that. Bhagavan, so many words. Guna. So you may think that anyone who speaks an Indian language, they already know these words. But actually, in many of the languages, the words are commonly mispronounced. Just like in Hindi, what do you say? Tamagum, Arjun. But actually, it's not a long U, but because of dropping the A at the end, it becomes pronounced as if it's along these two words. So, these words should be Guna, Arjuna, not Goon. So Indians could also, of course, if in Hindi, if you start speaking like that, people may think it's very strange because it's proper Sanskrit, but it's not standard Hindi. But at least when chanting the mantras, it's appropriate to chant it in the Sanskrit form. Just like, for instance, here's an example. Rindayai Tulsi Devyai. But Tulsi is Bengali or Hindi. It's not Sanskrit. The mantra is in Sanskrit. So even Indian speakers can learn some things. Okay. As I said, is there any more light here? It's pretty dark, isn't it? All right, we can go on. Yeah, Indians are saying they can also benefit, but yeah, Westerners are probably more, because Westerners in general, or when I say Westerners here, of course, devotees are not Westerners, non-Westerners, Indian, non-Indian, but we all, in this lifetime, we come from various cultural backgrounds, and the languages that we, or the languages that we are raised with, tend to influence the way, the pronunciation of other languages that we might take up later in life. Probably those who only speak one language, they're probably not even aware that there are various other ways of pronouncing. We just tend to think that the the way we pronounce, that's it. That's like in English, how many sounds are there? Maybe about, 50 or 60 sounds. I don't know. I could have looked it up on Google before I came here. Between the 26 letters of the alphabet, and they're put together in various ways, there are probably about 50 sounds in English that can be pronounced by various placing the tongue in various parts of the mouth and moving the lips and the in various ways, and the breath, releasing the breath in various ways, these produce various sounds. And various languages have various different sounds, just like Purnachandra Maharaj, who is from USA, told me that when he came to study Russian, he spent the first month studying the pronunciation, because there are many sounds in Russian which are quite different to those in English, and which actually, unless one's trained to hear, you won't even notice that they're there. In German also there are some sounds which are not in English, right? At least there's one letter I know of. And in Sanskrit also there are sounds which to myself, even now, I must say, I can't always distinguish by hearing the different, just like there's ta, these are four different ways of pronouncing what in English is just ta. Well, one reason it's sometimes difficult to make out is that modern speakers don't always pronounce them very clearly. Whereas in actual Sanskrit, there's a lot of movement of the tongue and a lot of the movement of the lips, and it requires quite an effort actually to speak. But people in general are lazy. English is a lazy man's language, in as much as words that get imported into English, they get lazy man or woman's language, if we're going to speak modern English. Women aren't lazy, right? They only have good qualities. Sorry, my anti-feminism always comes to the surface at every moment. So, there's the English has borrowed so many words, but they, in English, they just try to pronounce it more easily than in the original form. In Hindi, that's also there. Many words they get changed. Just like nagna, it's easy to say nanga, for instance. So many words get changed like that. But Sanskrit is, it takes some training and it takes some effort to pronounce. So, I'm just going to give a few quotes from Srila Prabhupada, how proper pronunciation is not wholly necessary. And then at the end I'll give some which say that they are necessary. Yes, Srila Prabhupada explained that because the mantras are transcendental, even those who do not understand them become purified by hearing and chanting them. Srila Prabhupada said, these prayers, although they are in Sanskrit language, simply by hearing, the effect is made by the vibration. They're a symbolical representation of the Supreme Spirit. Just like you are acquainted with the Omkar, Om, that is also an alphabetical representation. But the sound Omkar has a specific significance, so even if sometimes you do not understand the meaning, by hearing the vibration, you will be benefited. Srila Prabhupada did not want his disciples to parrot-like repeat Sanskrit. He wanted the devotees to not only say the verses that we chant every day, but to understand their meaning. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada would ask the devotees, he would quote some verse that we regularly chant, and you ask the devotees, what is the meaning? He wanted his disciples to know the meaning. And he wanted them to learn how to pronounce them. However, a Krishna consciousness does not depend upon correct pronunciation. In karma yoga, in karma kanda, if a mantra is intoned or pronounced incorrectly, the mantra will not have proper effect and may even have a different effect to that which is intended, which that is related in the Srimad Bhagavatam in relation with Vritrasura, who is supposed to come into being as an enemy of Indra, but because of a slight change in the way the mantra was chanted, he became a person who Indra was inimical to. So there's a difference. So Srila Prabhupada, some quotes from Srila Prabhupada. Spiritual activities do not depend on material things such as correct pronunciation. Correct pronunciation is a material consideration, Srila Prabhupada says here. Which is, of course, a fact, but that we are attempting to do everything for Krishna means all endeavors for Krishna, they become spiritual if they're done for Krishna's pleasure. Just like playing a mridanga, the ability to play a mridanga, it's a musical ability. If it's done for Krishna's pleasure, then it's spiritual. Although the activity in and of itself, it doesn't constitute a spiritual activity. Musical ability is not in and of itself spiritual, but if that is used in the service of Krishna, it becomes spiritual. Some of the best mridanga players in Bengal are not proper devotees at all. They're professionals who do it for money, and or they may be from upper sampradayas. So correct pronunciation in and of itself is not spiritual. And then there are probably there are many people who can pronounce Sanskrit far better than many of our devotees ever will do. But that's not necessarily as pleasing to Krishna as someone who chants with feeling, with love for Krishna. So correct pronunciation in and of itself is not a spiritual consideration, but it is a spiritual consideration in as much as we want to do everything nicely and properly for Krishna. Another quote from Srila Prabhupada. Srila Suta Goswami is not the least less important because he was not expert in chanting Vedic mantras with metric pronunciation, which depends more on practice than actual realization. Realization is more important than parrot-like chanting. So spiritual realization is very clearly stated here, more important than parrot-like chanting. Srila Prabhupada doesn't say that proper chanting is not important. But he says that realization is the actual essence. Another quote, the letters of the holy name have so much spiritual potency that they act even when uttered improperly. Another quote from Srila Prabhupada. One should chant the holy name of the Lord regardless of differences in linguistic pronunciation. There's a famous quote, which is not exactly about... Well, it's wrong. It's a different kind of wrong pronunciation. It's a wrong... One kind of wrong pronunciation is because of... mispronouncing the sound, or wrongly formulating the sound. Another reason for pronunciation is because of not properly understanding the language. So, murko vadati vishnaya. A fool says Vishnaya, just like we say, Om Keshavaya Namaha, Om Narayanaya Namaha, Om Madhavaya Namaha, Om Govindaya Namaha, Om Vishnaya. Is it? Vishnave. So it's an unusual case. You'd think it should be Vishnaya, but it's Vishnave. So a fool would say Vishnaya. Pandit Vadati Vishnave. Upaya tu samam punyam bhava grahi janadana. But both get the same. Yeah, a learned person says Vishnave, unto Vishnu. But both get the same result because Vishnu, who is Janardana, is Bhavagrahi. He accepts the spirit in which it is said. Now again, if someone is informed that the proper way of saying it is Vishnave and he still goes on saying it the wrong way, then we might think there's something wrong with his spirit. His bhav, his feeling is not actually that pure. If you want to please someone, the least you can do is pronounce their name properly. Is that right, Shaw? What do you think, Shaw? His name is Kishore, but if I were to say Kshaw, don't actually Kishora, if you want to say it, or in modern language. So if, well, maybe someone who has a lot of affection for someone, that's acceptable. Out of love, one may do so many things in an unorthodox way. But devotees are also supposed to be teaching the world and setting an example for the world. So again, better to pronounce properly. Here's another quote from Srila Prabhupada. You are chanting the mantras, but because it is not your language, sometimes it appears broken, just like guru. Sometimes you say guru. Prabhupada's talking about his Western disciples. Guru means cow. In Bengali, guru means cow. And guru means spiritual master. So the difference in meaning is vast. The spiritual master is not a cow or a bull. But that doesn't matter because bhavagrahi janardana. Krishna is within you. He knows what you want to chant. Therefore, he takes the meaning of guru and not guru, even when it is spoken as guru. That doesn't matter. Bhavagrahi janardana. Krishna knows what you are actually. Just like I know that although you are pronouncing guru as guru, I don't take offense because I know that your desire is something else. I do not protest that you are addressing me as guru. I am not guru. So that is not a fault. Similarly, it is said that yasmin prati shlokam abadhavati. If someone does not know how to spell it, how to say it, but his idea is there, abadhavatyapi, because he wants to chant the holy name of the Supreme Lord, those who are actually advanced transcendentalists, they'll appreciate. Oh, how nicely they are doing, how nicely. Although there is the broken language of guru instead of guru, that will be appreciated. The pronunciation, this is another quote, the pronunciation, Srila Prabhupada is talking about pronunciation of Bhagavatam verses, may be a little different. That doesn't matter. Just like I'm speaking English, it may not be just like American or Canadian English, but I'm doing my business. That's all. That does not make any difference. No one is asking me that, Swamiji, you are not pronouncing like an Englishman. They are concerned with the subject matter. Now here's an important quote from the Srimad Bhagavatam, spoken by Shukracharya. There may be discrepancies in pronouncing the mantras and observing the regulated principles. And moreover, there may be discrepancies in regard to time, place, person, and paraphernalia. But when your Lordship's holy name is chanted, everything becomes faultless. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, in this age of Kali, hardly anyone can chant the Vedic mantras with perfect pronunciation. Therefore, the sacrifice recommended in this age is Sankirtan, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord. However, having given all those quotations, this doesn't mean that we can become neglectful and think that we can cover our discrepancies by chanting. The holy names covers the defects of those eager to serve the Lord, not of those who make half-hearted efforts. Again, the point that we should try to serve Krishna well in all respects. One of them is pronouncing his names properly. Srila Prabhupada writes here, it's actually from Chaitanya Charitamrita. If one who is eager for devotional service utters the holy name even partially or improperly, the holy name, who is identical with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, exhibits its spiritual potency because of that person's offenseless utterance. So one who is eager for devotional service, their offenseless utterance covers all discrepancies. But we shouldn't assume that we are beyond all discrepancies. This, as I say, which is another topic, is a major misunderstanding within our movement, which has given rise to many discrepancies of devotees thinking that, well, we're devotees and therefore we're above everything else. We're above all discrepancies, we're above all social and Varnashram considerations because we're devotees. And that's another topic. Yes, so Krishna accepts improperly pronounced prayers if uttered with love, but a devotee shouldn't take this as an excuse to just, well, it doesn't matter, just say anything any way you like, it doesn't matter. What do you mean, whether you speak clearly or not? Is that some kind of imitation Tamil or something? Sorry. Any Tamil speakers? So what is correct pronunciation of Sanskrit? Well, it is supposed to be a seminar on correct pronunciation, but it's a little difficult to say because different people. Nana pandit, nana mat, jato not tato pat. Not exactly. Well, various established speakers of Sanskrit have various opinions on what constitutes proper pronunciation. So there are different opinions on pronunciation of certain vowels, consonants, and combinations thereof, but there are standard variations. Just like within English, there's BBC English, which is only spoken on the BBC. And then there's, that's considered standard English, maybe Oxford English, which most people in Oxford don't speak, only a few people in the university. So there are various forms of which are accepted standard English. Even within England, many of the forms of English, they're not considered very proper. Just like Cockney, East London English is not considered standard English. And actually you need an interpreter, and a person from West London needs an interpreter to understand what people from East London say. Or if you go to Newcastle in England, it's almost impossible to understand. So it's not considered I'm just giving the example of English, which is a mlecha bhasha, ati mlecha bhasha. It's a highly unstandard language, but even within that there are some forms which are considered standard. Indian English isn't one of them, not in my book anyway. So that there are certain differences among different schools of Sanskrit speakers doesn't mean that anything is standard. And in Bengali also, some Bengali is considered good, proper pronunciation, and other is considered rustic or non-standard. And we find in Chaitanya Bhagavat that even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whose forefathers were from East Bengal, when he came back to Navadvip, which is in West Bengal, he was laughing and joking about the pronunciation of the people in East Bengal, because it's considered non-standard. So, a guide to correct pronunciation of Sanskrit and Bengali. Oh, by the way, Sanskrit and Bengali, the pronunciation is different, which makes it more difficult for people unfamiliar with either language, as most of the people joining our movement are. There are many similarities, but there are many differences also. So we have to know when we are pronouncing songs or mantras or verses, whether they're in Bengali or Sanskrit, because what's correct in Sanskrit is not in Bengali, and vice versa. That makes it more complicated. But it's not that difficult. For some people it might be too difficult to grasp, but if you came here, well, I guess you came with the idea that you could grasp it. So, why not? Why not make a better ethos within our movement, a more cultured Sanskritam, mean that word is connected with Sanskriti, which is the translated as culture. So our movement would be more cultured if our devotees could speak, at least pronounce, at least we're supposed to say every day of our lives the same prayers, Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, etc. Sangsara Dava Nala Lidhala. So at least the standard prayers that we're going to say every day of our lives, it makes sense to learn how to say them properly, doesn't it? The same example, if I'm going to live with someone all my life or meet them regularly, then it makes sense to at least learn how to say their name properly. So it's not that much, actually. At least if we can learn these few prayers, it's not that many. If we can learn to pronounce them at least without the major mistakes which are commonly made, which I'll get through to, that would be better. And as I will quote later on, Srila Prabhupada wanted that and would be more pleased with that. So at the back of Srila Prabhupada's books, there are guides to pronunciation of the Sanskrit vowels and consonants. And at the back of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the back pages and in the songbook also, there is a guide to pronunciation of Bengali sounds. However, one cannot learn simply from a book. Children, how do they learn? They don't go to a pronunciation seminar. They just learn by hearing. And even sounds which are very difficult for people in later life to pick up, just like I gave that example of Purnachandra Maharaj, he spent 1 month when he was learning Russian, the first month just learning the sounds. And sometimes I've tried to pronounce Russian words and I can't say it because I can't hear it properly because I'm not trained to even hear what they're saying, the subtle difference. The sound is to me so subtle I can't even hear what they're saying clearly. But for children, if it's very normal just as they grow up to learn different languages and the sounds involved in them, it's an almost mystical process how they do so. I was told just a few days ago, someone told me, I can't remember who that was, that Parashuram Prabhu, in Slovenia. He's bringing up his one child, is it, so far? But he's bringing them up learning both Slovene and English. And they just naturally learn both languages side by side, and they know when someone's speaking that they don't mix it up, Slovene and English. So children can learn practically any number of languages if they learn from the beginning. We see in India also that many people, they grow up and they know just from the beginning of their lives. Just like in Hyderabad, many people know English, or Bangalore is a better example. They can grow up learning English, Hindi, Telugu, just like I have disciples in Bangalore. The father is from Telugu background. The mother is from Hindi-speaking background. And the local language is Kannada. So their two kids are growing up learning English, Hindi, Telugu, and Kannada. Four languages, just from the start. But for us, it's more difficult later on. Yeah, so the point that we can learn by... We can't learn simply from a book, but if we hear regularly, then that can help us. And we may need some training to hear sounds which to us, if we're not familiar with them, we just don't hear. We don't hear the difference between just like t and t. Someone who's trained in English, when they first hear, but they don't hear. To them it sounds all the same because there's only one t in English. In most Indian languages there's t, t, t and t. And in Tamil there's how many l's? Four l's? Five l's? Is it? You didn't count it, you just say them all the time. You see, the native speakers, they don't have to, they don't even have to think about all the technicalities, they just speak it. Just like people say, oh, well, why don't you learn Polish? Or say, well, it's a difficult language. No, it's not difficult, it's easy. For them it's easy, because they grew up with it. Everyone thinks their own language is easy, because they grew up with it. Yeah, so I suggest that devotees at least become familiar with the pronunciation of the songs in the book, the songs of the Vaishnava Acharyas. One way to do that is to look at the pronunciation guide at the back of the book, and we'll go through, in the course of this seminar, we'll go through the sounds there. And then when singing the songs, even if we know the words, we can look to see exactly what's written there, where the dots and the dashes are, and then we can overcome, that will help us to overcome common faults in pronunciation, as for instance, Nama Om Vishnu Padaya. Is that right? What do you think? Nama Om Vishnu Pada. What about this one? Paschatya Desha Tarne. You know that one, right? I corrected you in Sri Rangam. Paschatya Desha Tarne. We sing it every day. I don't sing it every day. It's not. Look at the book, see what it says. Paschatya, not Paschatya. As I asked you in Sri Rangam, what does paschatya mean? It doesn't have any meaning, does it? So, paschatya means of the West. Well, it's getting a little difficult to see here. Yeah, well, I was saying that children learn languages by hearing. They don't study the grammar. Maybe they do later on when they go to school, but they learn languages by hearing. So, in ISKCON also, we learn by hearing, and we learn all the mistakes. So that I hear Bengali devotees singing Bengali songs with all wrong pronunciation. Even though it's though their own language, because they learned it within ISKCON. And we have our inbuilt traditional sacred mistakes. So, ei nevedena, what was that? Ei nevedena dharo. That's a common one, isn't it? Ei nevedena. I don't know where that came from. Seva adhikara. Seva adhikara. Adhik kor. Adhik means extra. Kor means, his Bengali word means tax. So give us some extra tax. Taxing your service. It's a taxing service. They're just some examples. Yeah. Okay. So Srila Prabhupada on correct now the underlying point of pronunciation not mattering if one is on the spiritual platform. Now here's some other quotes of Srila Prabhupada, how he wanted devotees to pronounce properly. Here's a quote from Srila Prabhupada: you practice the diacritical mark. The diacritical mark is, this refers to the various dots, dashes, and squiggles that you see on the Sanskrit verses which are written in Roman or English letters. So when you see, so it's quite simple actually, when you see a line over an A, it's pronounced ah. When there's no line over it, it's generally pronounced uh. If there's a dot under the T, it's pronounced ta. If there's no dot, it's pronounced ta. So Prabhupada says, you practice this diacritical mark. The English transliteration is there. It is not very difficult. Simply if you practice twice, thrice, four times, it will come exactly the pronunciation. You have to learn the diacritical marks, then it will be all right. Then another quote. This is taken from the Veda base. Woman speaking. They don't say man, but if there's a man, they don't say man, but here it's a woman. So woman, colon. If you don't pronounce the Sanskrit prayers that are in the Srimad Bhagavatam, if you don't pronounce them properly, or Srila Prabhupada cuts her out and says, why not? You can pronounce them properly. Everything you can learn. Just like I am speaking in English. English is not my mother language, but I have tried to learn it, and I'm doing my business. That's all. Simply, you can learn any language. You can learn Sanskrit. You can pronounce very nicely. It requires learning. That's all. So, yeah, Prabhupada wanted devotees to learn. One thing we see, there are quite a few devotees who have learned many verses, but they never learned how to pronounce them properly. And so they're quoting many verses, but without correct pronunciation. So it's better to learn how to pronounce properly. Again, I'll excuse myself and say I'm anything but an expert, and I also make many mistakes, but at least I'm trying to get it better. Better than I used to be. Once, during the chanting of a verse before class, Srila Prabhupada, seems it was a Chaitanya Charitamrita class, Prabhupada said, when we are reading Bengali, let us do it as far as possible as the Bengalis do. Now, in another class, is also from the Veda base, a devotee was chanting the verse before the class. Srila Prabhupada interrupted and corrected the devotee and explained, we are repeating so that by hearing the sound you can practice. You should be attentive. Srila Prabhupada trained some devotees, those devotees in who were going preparing to go to England, first members of ISKCON who were going to England. Srila Prabhupada was in Montreal in Canada. Srila Prabhupada was training them, especially training them in chanting, how to chant nicely. And one of the chanting in kirtan, and one of the aspects of that was how to pronounce properly. So this is quoted from the Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita. Listening carefully as Yamuna led the chanting, Prabhupada would stop her at times to correct her Sanskrit pronunciation. So these were devotees who Prabhupada was specifically training for a preaching mission. He wanted them to chant with correct pronunciation. Now, this is from Japan in 1972. Shatadhanya Prabhu, who lives here in Mayapur, I believe, still now. He described how in Japan, Srila Prabhupada made much effort to train his disciples in chanting the Srimad Bhagavatam verses. Shatadhanya Prabhu described, Prabhupada became very upset and speaking loudly described how he had gone through all the trouble to include the Sanskrit shlokas and transliterations in the Srimad Bhagavatam, but the devotees were neither showing any interest nor learning the correct Sanskrit pronunciation. In short, they were ignoring the Sanskrit he had placed within his books. He became adamant and said that from now on, everyone in ISKCON must learn to pronounce correctly and understand the Sanskrit shlokas. For the next 3 weeks, every morning in Srimad Bhagavatam class, he called upon each devotee requesting us to chant the shlokas aloud. Prabhupada would take 10 or 15 minutes with each devotee and personally teach him how to pronounce every single Sanskrit syllable in the shloka. In that way, Prabhupada went around the temple room and personally taught the 7 or 8 people every day. We were studying the second canto, answers citing the Lord's version. And I remember even to this day the shlokas which Srila Prabhupada drilled into us intensely day after day. In fact, we would all get tutored by Pradyumna during the day so that next morning we would not be embarrassed. We were finally able to correctly chant the shlokas in that chapter. Pradyumna was Srila Prabhupada's pandit, he called him. He joined in ISKCON in Canada, I believe, and practically from the beginning of his time in Krishna consciousness, he studied Sanskrit. So his main service was assisting Srila Prabhupada with preparing the Srimad Bhagavatam translations. Now, back to Shatadhanya's narration of Japan, the shloka teaching. Before Prabhupada left, he announced that there would be a final exam in the temple room. All of us came at class time and Prabhupada called on each devotee to recite the entire chapter in Sanskrit. Then Prabhupada went through all the trouble to make corrections and explain how we did. This went on for hours, and he told each of us whether our recitation was good or more work had to be done. So Prabhupada at that time, he said he wanted all the devotees in ISKCON to learn how to pronounce properly. So he may say, well, Prabhupada didn't insist on it later, so it doesn't really matter. Prabhupada seemed he dropped it later. My perception is that Prabhupada had many desires for ISKCON, which he stated at various times, which he wanted his disciples to take up, but he didn't personally follow through every one of them, because as Srila Prabhupada said, I've given the framework of the building, speaking figuratively, and it's up to you to fill it in. So there are many things which Srila Prabhupada said he wanted, and some programs he actually started, and they've been stopped or changed, or and some things he didn't actually start, but he wanted them very much. Srila Prabhupada wanted Varnashram communities, Varnashram colleges, he wanted Gurukuls. There are many things that he wanted, which the fact that we're not doing them in ISKCON doesn't mean that they shouldn't be done. Actually, they should be done. And some things are more important than others. Varnashram is more important than pronunciation, but this is one of the things which could be, if there was some willpower behind it, it could be improved within our movement. Kirtan standards is another. Srila Prabhupada wanted kirtan, certain standards for kirtan. So he told what he wanted. And they could be instituted in our society if there's a will to do so. From the early days of ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada encouraged Pradyumna Prabhu in the following letter. Your teaching of Sanskrit pronunciation has been very much successful. It will be a great help for me if the students are taught to pronounce in Sanskrit vibration. It will be another effect of transcendental sound vibration. I think in the very near future you will be required to move from center to center to teach this verse vibration. So in each center, you will be, by hearing your tapes and by your personal presence, they will become very expert in pronouncing the Sanskrit verses. So although Krishna consciousness doesn't depend on correct pronunciation, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't pronounce Sanskrit properly. Krishna consciousness ultimately doesn't depend on anything but the mood and attitude of the devotee. But the devotee tries to do everything nicely for Krishna. Devotees should try, just like, again, that example of dressing the deities. Vamsidas Babaji, how he treated his deities. No doubt his deities, they had great love for Vamsidas more than that of a neophyte devotee who attempted. Vamsidas, he hardly looked after his deities. He abused them constantly. But if a neophyte devotee, that's not appropriate for a neophyte devotee. A neophyte devotee should try to dress them and serve them in the most gorgeous and opulent manner and according to the prescribed method. So, like that. Devotees, that Krishna consciousness doesn't depend on pronunciation, that should not be misunderstood to think that devotees shouldn't attempt to pronounce properly. Yeah, Srila Prabhupada requested many centers in the early days to begin Sanskrit classes, mostly for the purpose of learning proper pronunciation. Prabhupada wrote, the chief aim for learning Sanskrit would be how to pronounce the Sanskrit verses, especially in our published books. The main aim of this Sanskrit class should be how you can learn this chanting in the proper accent. It is not our aim to become a Sanskrit scholar. Correct pronunciation of Sanskrit, for preaching, especially to Indians, among Indians, for Westerners, it's very impressive. To Indians, if Westerners can quote Sanskrit verses. And Indians will be impressed if they can quote them, but they'll also notice if there are serious mispronunciations. And so they'll think, well, it's nice, they're learning the verse, but some mistake is there also. But if one pronounces properly also, then that's very impressive. Yeah, among Indian languages, I gave some example, there are various pronunciations also. Oh, I have a quote from Prabhupada about that when he's speaking with Dr. Patel on the beach in Bombay. Prabhupada, the Oriyas, they call him Krishna. Do you have any Oriyas here? Krishna. And in many places of Gujarat also, It's a little, it's not exactly the same as the Aurya, is it? The Aurya seems to be more strongly U sound, but in many language areas of India, in Tamil, Telugu, the Marathi, Krishna, not Krishna. What about the Chinese? They can't say R. The sound is not there. So they say Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. I heard Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he was really trying to get the Chinese to say Krishna. Spanish speaking people, they'll say, Yai Prabhupada! They don't say J. There's no J in Spanish, so Jai becomes Yai. So we may have to. Yeah, so then we may have to learn some sounds. There are many sounds. Actually, with your, what can be done with the tongue, palate, lips, and breath, there's all kinds of sounds. Any Welsh speakers here? There's some sound in Welsh, there's many places. I can't say it at all. It's written as double L. Well, in Tamil also, there's some sounds which are quite, in English, it comes out as alba, but it's something different altogether, isn't it? Can you say that? What we say alba, they write it A-L-Z-H or something like that. Yeah. I can't even hear the difference. There's so many different sounds. And even many of the sounds which we do say, and just like, we presume that the sounds, just like Krishna, that or many of the sounds, they may be very close to what we say. I'm saying English here, because English is our base language. It is a base language. Or it's our language of reference. For many of the sounds, they are more or less the same, but they may be slightly different also in Sanskrit. So, all right, that was an introduction, and tomorrow I'll get into some more practical matters. I understand, as I said at the beginning, it's not the most interesting thing. It may be like some boring class at school, if you remember those boring classes you had to sit through at school. But this is for the pleasure of Krishna. So, if you'd like, you can come, someone at least can come, so I don't have to speak to the four walls tomorrow. And tomorrow I'll get into some of the more practical, technical details, and maybe can start going through our daily verses that we say, starting in the morning. Sangsara Dava. Well, that's a mistake, isn't it? Sangsara Dava Nala. Oops, two words should be joined. So, like that. We'll go through the daily recited verses and point out common mistakes, including some humorous points, just like Mrs. Hiranyakashipu. Dalita Hiranyakashipu. Dalita, Dalita. Dalita means Hiranyakashipu has become a female Dalit. Krishna is Surakula Nashana, is he? Commonly said Surakula Nashana. He kills all the demigods, destroys the demigods. So it can Ai Nanda Tanuja Kinkaram. Who's Nanda Tanuja? Durga, actually. So this, if you say Ai Nanda Tanuja, Then it's a prayer to Durga, actually. So it means the daughter of Nanda. So there may be some humor in this class also. So, Hare Krishna, thank you very much for coming and sitting so far. Oh, I should have some prasadam. Have any prasadam to distribute? You want to run? Yeah, it's too late now. Okay, tomorrow I'll bring some prasadam. Post-dated check. Sorry. Bring songbooks tomorrow. That would be useful. Yeah, you can turn it off.